There's no way we could have been. Some people sold their houses, and they were ready. I've seen that go on since the 1970s. I've followed it for many years. Every time somebody gives the day of the rapture, they're wrong. And somebody might say to me, well, Pastor, where's imminency? Imminency, any moment we can be caught up. No, you can't. That's not what imminency means. It means that it could happen in your lifetime. And you're to live as though it may happen in your lifetime. Charlie Kirk was living for God. And I just watched when he got shot. And he was gone. It was obvious. And his wife actually thanked God for that. And she said he had a little Mona Lisa smile on his face when she saw him. And he's in the presence of the Lord. That's not quite as good as the rapture, but it's better than you and I got. He's much better off than us. So is Billy Jeffrey. This is all real. And we're to live as though it may happen in our lifetime, and we'll be reunited with our loved ones that are already in heaven, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But I have been watching for Christ to come back ever since I got saved, June 16, 1967. You do the math. You do the math. It's over a half century. I've been watching. And if you hear me preach and you see me and you know I'm still looking and watching and I'm excited about it, it doesn't have to be any moment. It can in my lifetime. And I pray for it to be in my lifetime. I pray I can live a long life to see it if God so chooses. But I say nevertheless, I will be done. And I know I won't miss it. Because if I'm dead or alive, that's the blessed hope. The blessed hope is not that you'll see him yet alive. Dead or alive, you won't miss him. Your body will be raised if it's dead. If it's alive, it'll be changed. Simple as that. And so, you'd say, I'd like to miss old age and the pain of it. Yeah, but if you live on, you're going to not miss the tribulation. So you're gonna get it either way, friend. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what you see is the word Nikao, which is overcomer in the book of Revelation. And the churches in Revelation are, it's a given they're going to face the Antichrist, the beast, and they're going to have to overcome. How? Through faith. There's either faith, flight, or fight. And it's not through fighting. It's not through fleeing. It's through faith in general. That's the way it is in the great tribulation. Some will flee. Jesus speaks of some Jews that will flee in Matthew. But at any rate, I have been preaching on the nearness of the now prophecies touching Israel. I just started this message last Wednesday, and I want to look at it again. I said that the nearness of the now prophecies pointing to Israel points you, first of all, to bless the nation of Israel. And we looked at that last week. We'll get into it a little bit this week. Now, this week, it points you to watch for the fulfillment of the Mideast war prophecies. Some years ago, I asked God, Lord, I know about the 70th week, and I know what's going to start it. I really have studied it. I really believe I'll know when I'm in the 70th week, and I'll be able to say it. I've had many people say, oh, we're in the last 7 years. And I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. You don't understand the Bible. I've said this for years now, since the 1990s. But I believe that I have that understanding, and I believe I have an understanding of the great Russian invasion into Israel that a lot of people talk about. A lot of people think that's a now prophecy. I don't believe it's a now prophecy. But I have a lot of understanding. I believe it'll be pre-70th week. And it will lead into the 70th week. I don't know how much time after that, the 70th week. I don't know the time. But I'll be able to watch. And I've asked God, but give me more. Give me some now prophecies. And God used an author called Bill Salus, S-A-L-U-S, who is a pre-tribulationalist, but he really had a good grasp on now prophecies. And I have looked at that and studied that, and I've been preaching on that now for how many years? 15 years, perhaps? Yeah, so, you know, about 15 years I've been preaching on these now prophecies that could happen at any time, unlike the rapture. These could happen at any time. And we just saw one of them begin to happen, and that was the bombing of the nuclear sites in Iran. That's something you've heard me preach on. How many remember me preaching on that? And it didn't completely fulfill it, but it's beginning. It's right on the edge. It's like when my wife was pregnant and with our first baby, and we brought her to the hospital, and they said, "Oh, those are not real contractions yet." And the doctor said, "She's sitting on go." Sitting on go. And when she went, we knew it. It was like boom, boom. And, you know, that's the way it's going to be. And the birth pangs of the kingdom in the 70th week. Now, we're seeing some things that the 70th week talks about, like the pandemics. You know, they were 70th week type stuff. By the way, that was all planned, 2020. Bill Gates was into that. Fauci was into that. Obama was into that. They should be brought to justice. We need to keep praying. And it started in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at the university there. The research to do, it was a SARS. It was a SARS-CoV-2 clone of a virus. Then they worked with Red China, because they worked together, the globalists and the Red Chinese, and they got it over to a Wuhan lab to take the pressure off Obama. And then they launched it from there in order to take out Trump. Those devils. But God brought us through that. And that was like the beginning of sorrows, the pandemics that we're going to see when the globalists try to come to power in the first 3.5 years. But that's a next prophecy. And before that, Ezekiel 38 and 39 will happen. And that's a next prophecy. But we're talking about the now prophecies that points you to watch for the fulfillment of the Mideast wars involving Israel. And so I want to look at that with you tonight. And you should... as we said last week, you should bless Israel, not because they are perfect or their government is perfect, but because God in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, promised to bless the world through Abraham's seed that he said would become a great nation. Tucker Carlson asked Ted Cruz, "Well, is the nation of Israel, is that the Israel of the Old Testament?" Yes, dummy, it is. Can you give me the scripture? Yes, I can. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Genesis 13. Genesis 22. Yes, I can give you that. And he's very clear on that. God is very clear on that. So, people listen to guys like Tucker Carlson. He may be a baby Christian. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I hope he is. But he shouldn't be leading people on a discussion of Israel. He doesn't know his head from a hole in the ground when it comes to Israel. He may be good at what he does. I give him that. But, hey, you're not a Bible teacher on Israel. Maybe you should consult some people. Get you under a pastor that can teach you. Get you in a local church. And zip it a little bit. And that's why, Erica Kirk, her pastor, tried to set Candace Owens straight. And she's trying to answer him. She married a Roman Catholic, Candace Owens, and became a Catholic, and she's gone off the deep end of the pool when it comes to Bible prophecy. See, the Roman Catholic Church is all screwed up on Bible prophecy. They believe that the Roman whore church, the Roman harlot church, replaces Israel as the people of God. And that's even in a great theologian by the name of Augustine, who had some things right, but he had that wrong. and that church is off. That's why I know a Jewish lady that's married to an Irish guy from Ireland, and the Irish Catholic Church and his relatives just don't understand the Jews. They're very anti-Semitic. And a lot of people are messed up on that. Steven Anderson is messed up on that. You know, Steven Anderson's pre-wrath rapture. He's an independent fundamental King James Baptist. That's Isaac's church. And he's recommended people to our church, Steven Anderson. And he has some things right, but he's got a problem. And his problem is Israel. For some reason, he spiritualizes away Israel and just sees Israel as an evil entity and the enemy of the gospel, which Martin Luther stumbled over that because the Jews turned against his gospel and he hated the Jews, Martin Luther. And I had people in my church that I brought up in, they thought Israel was done too. And that's why I left the church. I said, I'm just a young Christian. I knew Israel was special. And I love Israel because God loves Israel. God elected Israel. I believe in election. He chose them. He's not going to go back on that. I don't care how far they go away. They killed Christ. Sure they did. But that blessed you and I. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so I'm just saying that some of these people, they're off on Israel, and they look at certain verses, which it does say they're enemies for the gospel's sake. But go on, it says they're elect for the Father's sake. They're elect for the Father's sake. God's not done with Israel, Steven Anderson. See, I believe in a pre-wrath, post-trib rapture, but I also believe in a future for Israel. And I believe a difference between Israel and the church. Israel's not going to be saved until we're raptured. It's just the rapture is not going to be pre-70th week. So Israel's going to have to go through the tribulation and the day of the Lord before they recognize their Messiah. That's all. And then they're going to be the people of God, the earthly people of God, that will, in their fleshly bodies, reign over the world. And all the nations of the world will go up to Jerusalem and love the Jews. And Satan knows that. So he wants to kill them. He hates them. He wants to slander them because he's a slanderer. I've been slandered. He's a slanderer, a liar. And don't tell me that you love Israel but hate Bibi and Bibi killed Kirk. That's a bald-faced bunch of hooey. People like Candace Owens perpetrating that. Well, you know, Michael Savage said it. If they can bump people off all over the world, Israel, and they can, they bump her off. They're not doing that. And I heard a great Erin Mulan from Australia. She had an interview with the recent head of the Mossad. She asked him directly. She loves Israel, by the way, Erin Mulan. She's a great podcaster. But she asked him directly, did you kill Charlie Kirk? He said, of course not. Of course not. I've listened extensively to Charlie Kirk, even just a few days before he was assassinated in an interview with Ben Shapiro. Why do you think Charlie Kirk put Ben Shapiro on his show, who's a pro Israeli who's a Jewish guy who's not saved but loves Israel. He wanted the lies to be made, and he kept asking them softball questions so Ben Shapiro could clear it up. Just listen to that today. So don't give me that stuff. It just angers me because I know where it came from, and if it comes from a believer, I have to say to that believer, get thee behind me, Satan, because that Satan's work is to slander God's chosen ones. And so the Lord said in his Bible that he loves Israel, he elected Israel, and even though they killed their Messiah, and even though they had to be chastened by the Romans in A.D. 70 and later on in A.D. 130, and scattered to all the nations of the world, that God said in the end of the end times, I'm going to regather them back like dry bones. They're going to come together. There's going to be flesh on them, and they're going to come back to their land. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to bring them through more chastisement, one more 7 years under their law, and then I'll save them. That's God. Ezekiel 36:24 says, for I will take you, speaking of Israel, from among the heathen. That's what our unsaved people are, the heathen. For I will take you from among the heathen, he says, and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. By the way, that is their land. It's not the Hamas. It's not the Palestinians. It's not the Jordanians. It's not, my friend, the Syrians. It is not the Iraqis. That land from the River of Egypt down there in the Sinai, all the way to the Euphrates River, is Israel's land. Your land. And he said, I'll bring you back there. Now, he's not talking about them being saved when he's doing that. He's saying, I'll bring you back there. And in Ezekiel 37, the prophet, as I just mentioned, is told to prophesy to a valley filled with dry bones. And those bones represent the nation of Israel scattered after the worldwide chastening under the Roman siege. And their national hope is dead. Their hope of having a land of their own is dead in that malaria-filled, infested place that Mark Twain looked at and saw the malaria and saw that land. And yet God told Ezekiel, you're a prophet. Prophesy to those bones, and they started shaking. And when did that happen? In the 19th century, the Jews started having trouble in Europe, but the Dreyfus trouble and all the trouble that happened with the anti-Semitism, and they had a Zionist Congress under Theodor Herzl, and the Jews began to seek a homeland for the Jews. They thought about in Africa and so forth, but it was just a shaking of the bones. England came up with a Balfour Declaration and at the end of World War I to reward Weizmann, who had some help with explosives for England to win the war. And England really didn't keep that. And then the man that really, really helped the Jews to get their homeland, probably more than any other man, was in the 20th century after World War I. Does any man know who that was, that man who helped Israel probably more than anybody else right after World War I? Watch out. This is a trick question. Trick question, Sarge.
General Richard Allenby.
All right, General Allenby. Well, he conquered Jerusalem in World War I, but let's get the trick question here. Who's the man that helped him more than anybody?
Probably inadvertently Hitler.
Yes, he got it. Adolf Hitler. Heil Hitler! He tried to exterminate them. And every time, listen to me, Candace Owens, listen to me, Tucker Carlson, listen to me, Owen Schroyer, Shredder of Israel, any time somebody has tried to destroy Israel, and been really effective. These guys are small potatoes compared to the people I'm thinking of now, like Haman, Hitler. Every time those kind of guys tried to destroy Israel, you know what happened? There was a holiday created. Antiochus Epiphanes. Remember him? He tried to destroy them. He put a sow on their altar, and he had a image of Jupiter in their, Holy of Holies, and created that abomination that's a type of the future Antichrist and the beast. He did that, and what holiday did he create? Anybody know? One of the men? Matt? Yeah, Feast of Dedication, properly known today as Hanukkah. Hanukkah. So winter feast, Christmas time. And when that temple was freed and the oil miraculously was able to burn in there until they could get a supply of oil after he had done all of that. And Hitler, anybody know the holiday after Hitler tried to exterminate the Jews? 6 million of them he killed. But there's a holiday. It's called our 4th of July, May 14, 1948, Jewish Independence Day. Haman is Purim, the casting of lots. You see, you are not going to extinguish the Jews, devil. You may try it, and he's going to try it again. And he's getting ready for it. And all this stuff, now it's coming into conservative circles that people are attacking Israel because he's trying to draw off dumb Christians that go. Thank God Donald Trump hasn't gone with that. And pray for our president that he doesn't listen to these people. Charlie Kirk tried to reach out to Tucker, and that's why he spoke at his memorial. And I pray for Tucker, but he better turn. This is what Ezekiel says, 37:10. He says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them." Those were the dry bones. You know, the shin bone connected to the knee bone connected. All those bones came together. You had a big skeleton. Then all of a sudden, muscle grew on the skeleton, you know, like muscles came on the skeleton. And then after the muscles came on, skin came on the skeleton. And here's what he said in Ezekiel 37:10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them." Now that doesn't mean spiritual life. That means political life, national life, government life. That's a good one for Tucker, you know. It's the government, it's the nation, it's everything. "And breath came into them," Ezekiel 37:10, "and they lived and stood upon their feet," get this, "an exceeding great army." By the way, Israel has a great army. It's an exceeding great army, and it's even going to get bigger and better. The IDF. Trump is impressed with the Israeli army. The Israeli army is a great army, an exceeding great army. God's made it that way. Think of how far they came from marching into the gas chambers like lambs to the slaughter, taking showers and putting Zyklon B gas in the showers so that when they were waiting for the showers, out came the gas and they exterminated them like rats. From that place to an army like they have right now. Yeah, I do bless God for that. And these devils that slander the Jews and their army, God said they're an exceeding great army. Is any army perfect? No. But they're one of the best armies in the world from humanitarian side. How many have heard it said that they're committing genocide in Gaza? If you didn't raise your hand, where have you been? Genocide in Gaza. Do you know what genocide is? It's the extermination of people like happened to the Jews. If they're committing genocide, how is it that they're sending more calories per individual in Palestine, in Gaza, than the American diet eats every day for each individual. Since when were the Jews given that when they were being genocidally exterminated? No, they were starved. They were given a little bit of food. No, the Jewish people over there are moving people out of there so they don't get bombed when they level the buildings where these terrorists are, where these people are, that cut people's heads off on October 7, 2023, have kept them in captivity till then, still will not give them up, have had them live in hovels, and will not let them go, and try to use them as bargaining chips, and then try to keep the Palestinians that try to run when Israel drops leaflets. Unlike any army in the world, they're dropping leaflets saying, get out of here. And they shoot their legs off if they don't listen to them. So they can't run away. That's what Hamas is doing. And you say, well, it's just Hamas. No, the Palestinian, the PLO, they're just as bad. They hate the Jews. They come from Esau and the Arabs. And there's an ancient hatred, the Bible says. And there are some of them, thank God, they're witnesses to the truth. And I've listened to them. I'm talking about Palestinian people. I'm talking about the son of a Hamas leader who's one of the greatest witnesses I've ever heard, pro-Israel. And he'll tell you the way it really is. But the world is being lied to. And it's scary because you realize the deception. And we need to know the truth, and the truth will help us. And you can be a friend to Israel and be a blessing. And God gave Israel a promise in Genesis 15, 18. He gave Israel as a nation the promises of the land. It says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed, and we know which seed he's talking about. He's not talking about through Ishmael. He's talking about Isaac and Jacob. And unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And God's plan runs smack dab into that ancient rivalry between Ishmael and Isaac. And remember Sarah when she saw Hagar. Now Sarah caused the problem. She said, I can't have a baby, Abraham. You got to help God out. I got an Egyptian handmaid. Get her pregnant, and we can have a baby through her for you that God promised. And I can't do it. And Abraham listened, and she had the baby, and his name was Ishmael. Ishmael saved, by the way. But it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, of course, she was thinking very selfishly as a woman. But God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, not Ishmael. Now, it's not that God doesn't love Ishmael. Like I said, he was saved. He was gathered to his people. It's not that God doesn't love people, Arab people and all people. But it's just because God chose to use Israel to give us the Messiah to save the world. God chose to use Israel to give us our Bible, Old and New Testament. God chose Israel, listen to me, to bring the kingdom of God back to the earth and defeat Satan. That's why anti-Semitism exists. It is a spiritual warfare. And even unsaved Jews, they don't realize many times why the world hates them so much. But that's why. That's why. And there's an ancient rivalry here. The Ishmaelites are the Arab people. And just like Israel came back and became a nation in the 20th century, so God allowed the Ishmaelites to become national entities with borders, and to hate Israel. You say, why? To teach that Sarah a lesson. I mean, there's a good lesson for you here tonight. You can sin, but there are consequences. And it goes beyond your lifetime. You don't get rid of the consequences. You can live with them. But we're eternal beings. And so who do you have here? You have Syria, Jordan, the Saudis, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Iraq, Kuwait, and so forth. You also have the Hamitic nation, not the Semitic Arabic nation, but the Hamitic nation of Egypt. And you have Esau, which is southern Jordan, and the Palestinians. They're descendants of Esau and the Arabs because he intermarried with the Arabs. But remember, not only the Arabs hate the Jews in general, but the descendants of Esau do too, because Esau, remember, he came from Isaac, but God said, now I'm going to make a choice between you and Jacob, and I choose Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I elect Jacob. And Esauites can submit to that and say, yeah, God chose the Jews, and so we're going to submit to that and be saved. But many people are too proud for that. And so there's ancient hatred, and it's fomented with the Esauites, and they're the Palestinians. By the way, when and many people have listened to this, that October 7th, has anybody heard the Palestinian young man who went there to kill Jews and attack them in their houses and cut their heads off? And he told his mom and dad, and I heard it on the phone, I heard the recording. He said, Mom, Dad, I've killed like 20 Jews. And the mom's like, yes, 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 good boy. And the dad's like, yes, yes, like he won a football game. And when you realize that, you realize how bad the problem is. You see, they cannot leave them there. By the way, these nincompoops that have created in their own legislation a Palestinian state, where are you going to put a Palestinian state? You got, they're Arabs and Edomites or Esauites. They're either in Jordan, but they won't take them. They want them in that little New Jersey section where Israel, they want to do a Palestinian state where it's impossible for Israel to. That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard of in my life. Macron, that Frenchman. Stormer, that British guy. Boy, Trump stood up to him, didn't he? He stood up to the whole UN. How many knew he had his speech? He told them all off. Thank God for Donald Trump. And thank God for a preacher who's telling you like it is, because you need to hear this. Because the Bible teaches this, and people need to hear this, because what is going on from Candace Owens, Stephen Anderson, and some are more guilty than others. But what is going on? They're going to get Jews killed. A lot of Jews killed. They're going to help get ready for the return of the beast, Hitler. Because Hitler's coming back on steroids. I said, Hitler's coming back on steroids. I said, Hitler's coming back on steroids. And he's going to rise in Western Europe. By the way, have you seen how the globalist who praise whatever for LGBTQ, they're uniting with the Islamists who say kill the homosexuals. And yet they're getting together in their hatred for Israel and their hatred for America. They agree on that. They agree on that. By the way, I have watched for this when we talk about these Middle East wars, and I'll be talking about them that are coming, the now prophecies. I'll watch out for the Sunni Arabs to unite with the Shiites. You see, the Shiites are the Iranian brand of Islam, going back to the Imam, and they have a different view of Islam, but they're both Islamic, coming from Allah and all that. But the Sunnis hate the Shiites, the Iranian brand. But remember, Israel's been devastating Hamas, who sided with Shia, and Hezbollah, who sided with Iran, the Shiites. But guess what? Guess what's uniting them? Brother Joe, it's Gaza and the genocide and Benjamin Netanyahu. He's a war criminal. How many have heard that? How many have heard Benjamin Netanyahu's a war criminal? That's a lie. He's a courageous Winston Churchill defender of his people. And and he's a friend of Donald Trump, and Charlie Kirk liked Benjamin Netanyahu. And so do I. So does your pastor. So does Mike Huckabee. And I like Mike Huckabee. I'm just saying, tonight the battle drawns are being drawn. And we need to know Bible prophecy. And some people have attacked me because I preach on how the Bible relates to every area. That's one thing Charlie Kirk did. He related the Bible to every area. And the main thing is the main thing. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven, and that's our mission. But once a person gets saved, we're going to teach them the Bible from cover to cover. We're not going to back off from it. We're not going to back down. We're not going to be intimidated. I am a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God. And I will not apologize to Tucker Carlson or any other individual, Candace Owen, or any other individual. I'm not saying I hate these people. I love them. Thank God for Charlie Kirk's widow, who said about her, the assassin of her own husband, I forgive him. That's amazing. That's amazing. Donald Trump said, I hate their guts. I noticed she hugged him afterward. But she meant it. I know she meant it. Because she thought of Jesus and what the choir sang about the cross. And that brings it all down. These enemies can only be saved through the love and grace of God. And may God help us to speak the truth, but do it in the love of Christ, and keep getting the Word of God out to people, that God could save Arabs, Edomites, and the world. Because Christ died for the world, amen. And he died, and I wouldn't be surprised if Erica Kirk and her testimony, and I'm going to speak on her behalf at that vigil, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if God uses her to get a lot of leftists saved. Do you know, what's that guy's name that got fired and reinstated, but not in all stations? Jimmy Kimmel. He cried. Now you say crocodile tears. I don't know. I don't think so. He cried when he told what Erica Kirk did. It touched him. Pray for Jimmy Kimmel. Pray for his salvation. Pray for people on the left, that they repent and receive Jesus. It takes a testimony like Charlie Kirk, Erica Kirk, and would to God that young fundamentalists who have our Bible, who have our local church, who have our standards, who I believe, you know, we have a great opportunity, that we could lead the way in that kind of revival. The martyrs are the blood that is the seed of the growth of the gospel. And this is what we're seeing. It's an opportunity for us. Pray that God blesses it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking tonight about this great subject.